Accession number 30063, reel 15.
Mr. Reed, reel 15. You were going to tell me a particular event or tale.
When we were on Augusta Bay. Eventually took Augusta Bay and made our way back to the ship, the Ulster Monarch. And bearing in mind, it only had a 10-foot draft. It could get quite in close to the land. And when they came back off there, to get back on board again and go possibly further up the coast of Catania, they came back. I've mentioned before that it had civvy crews on the Ulster Monarch. The captain was called Goaty because he had a goatskin beard. I'd mentioned to the lads when they were going, when we were all going, if you see any overcoats or any good stuff, let me have it, will you, a guitar or anything like that. And come back, and there was all sorts of guitars, overcoats, admiral's hats, and he had the beautiful stuff, but they picked him up there, and that was always a laugh. He filled his cabin with all this stuff, you know. That was the rest of the Monarch. And we then went up to Catania, and to the best of my knowledge, nothing happened there.
It had been taken by now,
presumably. It had been taken. I think by then the island had been taken, and you're now thinking in terms of long-legged Italy. Kicked Little Sicily right in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea.
So it must be around about August to September 1943 that we're talking about.
I would think so. This is where I get my dates mixed up.
That was when the Sicilian campaign was completed, the end of August.
Was it? Well, yeah. Well, we that's when we were sitting in the hen house, sleeping in the hen house, and God knows what we weren't doing in the hen house. Yeah, that was it. And that was the time when we went up to Mount Etna, up to the top, and had a sing-song and some beer or wine or something up there to Mount Etna. So the whole of the island was then taken over. You now got to think in terms of, what do we do with Italy? From then on, the Ulster Monarch was coasting off the coast of Italy and Sicily, just between the Straits of
Messina.
From then on, they went up the heel to Calabria, and it was a case of looping and going in until the main forces were coming across. In all sorts, when I say all sorts, I mean amphibious vehicles with wheels on, great big things, and all these things were coming across, following us in. Out we come, right? And that was the end of the Sicilian, Italian campaign, except for one raid on just north of Bari, I think. What was? I think it was Bari. Yeah, Bari. It went right there, and it wasn't really successful. The Germans were resisting very, very much, so you had to get out. So what happens now?
So you were again on board the ship whilst the raids were going in.
Yeah, well, we were all backwards and forwards there, and here we are. What happens now is you get back to the ship, off you come, and the SRS are now going back to, they haven't done Sicily, Italy, Greece, up as far as Salonika, and come back in and out.
The same pattern of raiding and in and out all the time.
That's what they wanted to do. Yeah. But they found out from Italy that it really wasn't a good thing for them to be, for us to be going in there and fighting with rifle and bayonet, or near enough that. That wasn't the SAS. But they were then, you know, all right, if they don't do it, what do they do? So our thoughts about coming home just disappeared again. With the fact that we've done a job and finished it, and people were saying, well, what are we going to do here? There's plenty to do. They said, okay, we go back to Naharia. Go back to Naharia. And what do we do there? So it was evolved that they had all the islands down there, all the Greek islands. I think, if I remember rightly, about 13 of them. So what we did is keep the Germans down there by letting them know that we were there, and the Navy had laid on now MTBs and torpedo boats when we wanted them, because the torpedo boats were fast. MTBs were just about 12 miles an hour. Never mind. Used them down in Palestine to visit, and not to create a hell of a bloody raid and God knows what, but to go in there and cause a hell of a lot of upset and have a go with them and come back, such as Kos. Now Kos, the island of Kos, not Chios, the island of Kos is further down. And Rhodes and Simi, and those three, they were almost done in a fortnight.
And were you involved in these activities as well?
The Simi one, the Navy dropped us off. Well, I'm trying to remember the place. It was round the corner. Round the corner where we dropped off from the Navy. So, you know, they were carrying everything. Went forward with the main lads, and there was a hell of a battle on. Yep, hell of a battle on. And from 1 o'clock in the morning when we went on there and got through, we had a radio set with us then. We managed what Colonel Jock Leprake wanted was to let them know in the Cairo Echo, I think it was, the newspaper, what we had done. We'd taken the island, we'd taken prisoners, we'd sunk their boat, which is the one and only boat that they had in the harbour. We'd been there for 24 hours. We were all knackered because we were sitting there waiting for the Navy to come in and pick us up. And in case there was anyone left who was going to... We had to be extremely careful.
Did they fight back when you landed?
Didn't have a chance. Didn't know we were there.
Yeah, surprise.
Until such times as we... Bingo. And then you have a fight. But they still had sleep in their eyes, sort of style.
Did you... obviously, you come across some Germans and the prisoners and so forth. You would see them.
You can't... When you're on raids like that, you're limited what you can carry. What is it? All you can carry are the things that you're going to use now. It's no use saying, I'll carry that and use it for later. You've got to use the thing now. If you don't, they will. That's the opposite.
What kind of weight would you be carrying?
Oh, the maximum we ever carried was, and that wasn't for fighting kit, that was for big pallets, maybe 56, 60 pounds. But on a raid, you carry machine guns only. Some of them used to have little pop guns, what they call...
Sten guns, though? The Sten?
No, no, better than that. Point two. I forget the name of them. Couldn't think about
it. Did you ever have the opportunity to fire your weapon at any enemy?
Yeah. Yeah, not any enemy. You just fired and that was it. Let them know they're there. Because if you wondering, they didn't know you were there until such night as you did that. As far as killing them, maybe, I don't know. I don't know, maybe.
Did you feel that doing these raids when, you know, the armies were way up Italy by then, did the Germans, did they resist strongly or...?
Yeah.
They still resisted very strongly.
Yeah, yeah. We were glad to get out of it when we went to Barry. We were glad to get out of it. It's too much. They had too much for it. Although Stirling was on that raid. He went to show with them. I'm trying to think now. Bob Kingsley, my mate. Him and I were in touch together. Bob Kingsley. Yeah, I can't remember his name now.
What's your personal reaction to being under fire?
Shit scared. Didn't know where the hell I was. Didn't know where I was. I think it's the worst thing imaginable to think that you're going to stop something. It was with me anyway. And it was with the others. Some of them said afterwards, you know, when they got a bloody hell, what goes on? Because it hadn't been used to this.
What was the worst German weapon that you faced?
That was used.
Hmm. Most frightening.
No, that was the Schmeisser, because they could. We used to use them if we could get enough ammunition. There was no doubt about that. It was a very good, solid, accurate. Semi-machine gun. That's it. I had bigger ones, but you know, bum bum. I mean, you don't need a big one to knock somebody like the yard. And they used them to effect.
Do you recall having any narrow escapes yourself from wounds?
Not really. I think they were all sort of in the same boat, as it were. There was no one left behind. So when I'm talking now about Italy.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the desert. I'm talking about Italy. There was no, when you were pulling out, even if someone was hit, you said, come on, get them out. Because you couldn't afford to have them being hit there and then being interrogated by the Germans. Because they hadn't yet got up to the main fighting lines where the mountains were.
Did you lose any friends yourself? Any personal friends?
Yes.
And do you recall who they were?
One was Paddy Bridget, Irishman. Can't forget his bloody name. Can't forget it. Mm. You mean close friends? Mm. Not really, you know. Those with Paddy Bridget bought it on the beach. He had it. The rest of them, no. Because when we were at base, they were all on one camp there, and our unit was there to be amongst them if they wanted.
So you never really got close to anybody in that sense, because you're always. With other being moved around.
All the kit. And they said, right, we're doing this, that, and the other. Such as the training down in the Red Sea. That's it. You do the same training as what they were doing. So
you're doing this island work?
Doing the island work, and this is on the. With the Navy. And. Jock Leprague was then the colonel. If you bear in mind, going back to Tunisia, Stirling was captured.
And this was his successor.
And these were the lads coming up. And they come from all sorts of places, you know. But Jock McCraig was the lad who was aboard the Iliki, the ship. And this is where the operations came. This is where they planned the operations from.
What was he like?
Jock McCraig, a real fiery Scotsman. Not bad to work with, but fearless. Absolutely fearless. And he expected everybody else to be the same. And if they went on the right, 100% was required. It's got to be. And Paddy Main had left then to go to, left with his SBS, I think, to go to Europe, back to France, and do the raid there. So these are the fellas who were left. They were stepping up now and getting more and more and more people in there, and it was losing its identity, in my opinion it was, as just a unit who no one knew about, didn't know what the hell was happening, but these blokes used to turn up and bang, 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 take that, and the main troops used to walk in, or fight in, whatever they did. So it was quite a flexible thing with all these people, but they were getting too big now. They're getting far too big to have anything secret. People were beginning to say, yes, yes, oh, then, oh, did you see those blows going up? This is the sort of thing they used to get to. No one knew what they were doing. And indeed, when we settled down to life, keeping the Dodecanese happy, in the Turkish coast, that's where we hauled up, in the Turkish coast, and came out and did a raid here and a raid there, and bingo, observation here, there, and all over the place.
Do you know the name of the place you were established in on this, what do you say, Turkish coast? Where were you operating from?
From the coast almost opposite to Rhodes. Rhodes wasn't far away.
And was this in Turkey itself?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're supposed to be neutral, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I think I mentioned it, that we used to have to supply cigarettes to the Turkish army, who used to, not army, but I presume they'd be soldiers just walking along the road, not the roads, just coming to see who was who. But we had the Iliki in there, which these are 500 ton boats, you know, used for commercial purposes, and we slept in the holds. They were converted then, but the Iliki and the others was A squadron, B squadrons. They had the big boats in there, and this is where the Navy used to come in, pick them up, take them away, and let's have a look at what we're going to do. So the Navy then, you see, that was something else, wasn't it? We've got bloody ships now, not jeeps. And on the ship, the whole lot was getting on there. So you're talking in terms of the SAS being a big, big unit.
I'm quite surprised that you were operating from Turkish waters, in effect.
So am I, but it's happened we're in Turkish waters,
and again
for quite some considerable time. All the time the Second Front was taking place, we were knocking hell, or giving them something to think about, down in the Dodecanese, where they had, I don't know, X number of troops, the Germans. And if we could have, the whole object was not to just take them over, but leave them there. We wanted to keep as many Germans away from the Second Front as possible.
And your role, again, is basically headquarter work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hello, see me again. Up over the mountains, you're walking with the main troops over bloody bricks and stones and God knows what else. With this set on your back and you're there, coming with it. Everybody's going in. And then you've... get the messages going away to Cairo, or away to headquarters on the ships, or the way to the Navy, who used to be sitting there somewhere, and coming. And don't forget, the Germans had their bloody ships down there.
What and kind of, you know, on a an activity like that, what kind of messages would be coming into you and you were sending off?
Not many coming in. Not many.
Mainly
the only
out.
Ones coming in would be possibly the Navy. We're coming in now because they couldn't always decide when they wanted to sail in and pick a load of blokes up. Coming in now. The messages going out would go to very, very few. Would go to the island, see me where you were, or to Cairo. When I say Cairo, I mean, you know, the Eastern Mediterranean sort of stuff.
Headquarters. So your work was a lot to do with communications with, as you say, ships and headquarters and so forth, but not so much to do with the actual communication with the men that were doing the fighting, if
no,
it that way.
No. You could get involved occasionally, and you got to do one or two things. Hide, get out of the way, or run with them. And that would be the whole main of the main force, depending how many there are. And they would not have it. I believe it was in their instructions from... Was it Montgomery then? No, Montgomery would be back on the second front. Instructions, whoever it was, the GOC, would be... They would give instructions that they wanted the whole force in. They don't want two men in. What can they do? They wanted the whole force. And there was a bit of friction there, I think. Yeah. But, we did Kos, and that was only a little island. But it just wanted them to know that we were still down there.
They were pinning them down, weren't you?
We did Rhodes, we did Simi, we did Samos, we did... there was another force. I forget his name now. It was great, a Dutchman it was. He eventually finished it with a VC. He used to do the same thing. And totally out of sync with people in the forces. A pair of shorts on with socks rolled down to his ankles and open that shirt or stuff. Dirty old shorts on. Never been washed for ages. But that was him and that was his mob. Larson his name was. So that was the Dodecanese. I've said we'd been up to Greece. On the way we had to pass islands which were sort of semi-occupied by Germans. And once we got up to Athens and Salonika, which was further up into Greece, Athens was way down here. Then, of course, these places were wiped up and cleaned, and all the islands were free. Well, what happens then? You're getting back to the headquarters, which he adopted, was Chios. That was up the north coast of Turkey, just about 5 miles from the mainland. And it was Greek, so that was okay. All these things were sorted out, and eventually the second front is now being left behind because the troops have invaded. Got on, come up, we've saved all those troops from the Dodecanese in Italy, going up there to form a barrier.
Did you come across Greek people themselves, the population?
Oh, yes.
What were they like? How would they treat you?
Generally okay, but they were starving, poor buggers. They were really, really badly off. They were really badly off.
And could you help them in any way when you were with
we
them?
Couldn't help them. We couldn't help them. We didn't have the stuff to help them. All we had was enough to... I remember going up to Salonika. We were absolutely bloody starving. Starving. Didn't have anything to eat. When we got to Salonika, they put a big tub on. I'll never forget this. A big, big tub. And filled it with vegetables and meat and poured the whole lot in and boiled it. And we ate that. And we were bloody glad to eat it, you know. It was awful. But it was, we had to get something done. Because we were then getting ready to come back to Naharia again. So we always went back to Naharia. And by that time, they're ready to say what's going to happen on the next one. That one's okay, leave me, not doing any harm. And that was the way we... That was a contribution, shall I say, to the Second Front.